It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at the book of Ruth in our Bible study on It's a Good Life. And today I'd like for us to continue our study in Ruth chapter 3. Now, the book of Ruth is God's message of love. But the whole Bible is God's message of love. And we left chapter 2 and we saw in that chapter God's mercy, God's grace, and God's favor. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, see, we have the promise of the Savior. And God said He was going to send a Savior. And in First John chapter 4 and verse 10, we see that God sent the Savior. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We read again in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 where it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." You see, this is God's love. And in John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." We see in these verses and other verses in the Word of God, we see God's love. God sent His Son because of love. We keep reading and we find out that Jesus came. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Well, this is Paul the Apostle speaking. Well, I feel that way, that Jesus came into the world to save me, the chiefest of sinners. See, when a person realizes their sin, that they're lost in their sin, that they need a Savior, Jesus is there. He's waiting to save that person. That's the reason He came into the world. Well, we look at these verses that God sent, and we see that Jesus came, but what about the Word gave those verses? He could come into the world and leave the world, but He came for a specific purpose. God not only sent His Son, but God gave. Why? Because of love. God gave His Son. You see, the Bible is God's message of love. He loves the world. John chapter 3 and verse 16, that familiar verse, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But we see that God gave His Son. He not only sent Him, He gave Him. God said, "It's time to go," and Jesus came. God gave His Son. And we also see that Jesus gave. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Who gave Himself," and this is Jesus, "who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Well, this is something that we often overlook. God not only sent, and Jesus not only came, but Jesus gave. God gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His life that sinners could be saved and go to heaven. He gave His life, but thank God He didn't remain in that grave, did He? He came out of the grave that we could have eternal life and live forever. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by God's love, by Jesus' love, that we're able to say that one day we're going to be in the presence of God. You see, when I say that the book of Ruth is God's message of love, well, that's true. But the whole Bible is actually God's message of love from Genesis through the book of Revelation. God loves. Today, as we pick up our study in Ruth chapter 3, I want you to notice that this is poor Ruth, a destitute, forlorn, a bereaved, homeless, portionless widow we're speaking of here. Ruth. Think of the destitute circumstances of a bereaved sinner now when awakened to find out how deplorably he or she is ruined, utterly undone. The Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned." We understand as we read and study the Word of God that the death spoken of here is not only a physical death, but it is a spiritual death, separated from God throughout all eternity. Well, thank God. Once again, it's through God's love. He sent His Son. He gave His Son. Jesus gave His life. And he's alive today. He rose from the dead. And because of that, a sinner can come to Jesus and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. So it is God's message of love, but we can compare this with Ruth as she came into this country, into Bethlehem, Judah, a place where she had never been before. She came into the land of the living, and I believe she was a saved woman because she gave up the world, Moab, to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, into the land of the living. And more than that, she was following God. And here in the land of the living, things were taking place and things were shaping up now that would lead us once again all through the book of Ruth, showing us about and telling us about God's love. When Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? We see in this verse to rest, serve, and to decide. There had to be something done here, and Naomi wanted to help Ruth find rest. And once again, throughout the Bible, we see this. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. We often ask ourselves as Christians, Lord, how long? How long must I live in this world? When will I see you? Well, it's coming. As a Christian, you don't have to worry about that because one day we're going to see Jesus Christ as he is. Well, the Bible says that we're going to see him as he is, and we will be like him. Why? Because our bodies are going to be raised incorruptible. You say, how is that going to happen? Well, all I know is that God says it's going to happen, and God will take care of that, and that we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. And so we see that the rest comes, not only after death of this body, but rest is right now. We can rest in the Lord and understand that he is the one who gives the rest. And that rest comes by trusting him and relying upon him and saying, Lord, I trust you and I know that whatever you say is going to take place. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, this is not only, it not only has to do with the unsaved person, but it has to do with the saved individual today. God loves us, and he wants us to know that we can have that rest, laying our burdens upon him. Well, Naomi not only wanted Ruth to find rest, to help her find rest, but Ruth had to decide whom she would serve. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, we live in a land that is not our home. That's the saved person. But we are here, and we need to make a decision. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve the gods of this world? Or are we going to serve the real God, the Creator, our Savior? We need to be a Joshua. He said, As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, I'm not going to serve the gods of this world. I'm not going to serve the devil. I'm going to serve my Lord, the one who gave himself for me and died for me. And he's alive today that I can have eternal life. We see Ruth, she had to decide whom she would serve, and so do we. Ruth had to decide what she wanted, and so do we. James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, you know, I deal with individuals and I ask them, Are you on your way to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven? Sometimes that answer will come back, well, I believe there's more than one way to heaven. Well, that's not true. Sometimes I'll get the answer, well, you know, I believe you can go to heaven that way, but you know, there's possibly some other ways that you can go to heaven. Or they may say, I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm still trying to decide. Well, I remind you once again, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that person who makes all of these excuses, that person needs to come to the realization that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2 goes on to say, and as we look on, it says, "Now is not Boaz of our kindred?" Well, this is Naomi speaking to Ruth again. She says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." We see in this verse, of course, that the kindred, and that's Boaz, would be on the threshing floor that night. Well, Boaz was Naomi's and Ruth's kindred, according to the Word of God. Once again, Christ is our kindred. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." See, Jesus Christ is our kindred. He is the one who redeemed us. The Bible says about Christ, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor." That's the threshing floor. And it goes on to say, "And will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And Luke chapter 3, verse 17 says that. Well, notice the word now in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 2, the word winnoweth. Winnoweth means to remove all chaff from the grain, to examine something, to remove bad parts, to examine something in order to remove the bad or unusable or undesirable parts. Well, I want you to know today that no sin will ever enter into heaven. No unsaved person will ever enter into heaven. No unsaved, ungodly person has eternal life, but are, like the Bible says, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, the Bible says, you're here today and gone tomorrow. The Bible says of the unsaved, "Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney." Hosea chapter 13, verse 3. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior if you've never done that. You need to say, "Lord, I know I'm a lost sinner. I know I can't save myself. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sin. I know you can save me because the Bible says so, and I'm believing your word. Please save me today. Come into my heart." Now, if you'll pray a prayer something like that, the Bible says that you're saved because you've had a change of mind. You know you can't save yourself. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. If you pray a prayer and ask God to save you, ask Jesus to come into your heart, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You've confessed that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. "Lord, I'm sorry." And that's confessing your sin. We say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And that's coming to Jesus. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's you. If you've trusted the Lord today, you're saved and you are on your way to heaven. That's God's love.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.